16 past 8, welcome back. South African Ambassador to the US, Ibrahim Rasool, has called for support for Dr. Ibrahim Musa after Dr. Musa wrote an opinion piece in the Washington Post recently entitled Unveiling the Heart of Extremism. Now, Dr. Ibrahim Musa in that piece wrote about his friend, Mufti Rashid Musaji, who studied theology with him in India and returned to South Africa with him. In the face of the evil and unjust apartheid system, Mufti Musaji asserted the absolute separation of religion and politics. And he therefore astounded those who knew him and his attitude towards the apartheid regime when he emigrated with his family to Raqqa, Syria, to join ISIS. Now, this piece written by Dr. Ibrahim Musa in the Washington Post resulted in him receiving death threats from ISIS and its sympathizers. And Ambassador Ibrahim Rasool says that this opinion piece was one of the most powerful pieces on extremism that he has read. Ambassador Rasool joins us this morning on the line from the United States of America. Ambassador, Jazakumullah for your time, much appreciated. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you and listeners in South Africa. It is great to be connected to home,
alhamdulillah.
Far away here in Washington, D.C.
Yes,
you just correct one thing. I am not currently the South Africa. I've completed that job in December. I am now a scholar in residence at Georgetown University in the Al-Walid Center and founder of the World for All Foundation.
Okay. Jazakumullah for talking to us this morning. I know it's still the early hours there in the U.S. and you've woken up to talk to us. Can you enlighten our listeners firstly with regards who Dr. Ibrahim Musa is?
Dr. Ibrahim Musa is a South African. He grew up in the Strand area of Cape Town. He had left South Africa in the late 1990s, early 2000, when his house was petrol bombed in Cape Town by extremists. And he has really been settled at Duke University and now at Notre Dame University, where he has made tremendous impact with his scholarship on Islam and in many other fields. So alhamdulillah, that is who Ibrahim Musa is.
And he knew Mufti Rashid Musaji, who has become well known now in South Africa as the man who took his entire family and went to Raqqa, Syria to join ISIS and has been advocating for other South African Muslims to do the same.
Yes, I think that they overlapped while they were studying in India, kept touch with the family of Maulana Musaji, and certainly I think that in their own exchanges, the issue of Islam and politics had always been a very uncomfortable topic for Maulana Musaji to deal with, and so I think that that just heightens the surprise of his joining ISIS and calling on others to do the same.
Now, you've been very impressed by this article or opinion piece written in the Washington Post by Dr. Ibrahim Musa, which I understand was entitled Unveiling the Heart of Extremism. Tell us about the crux of what he mentions in that opinion piece and why was it impressive to you?
Look, I think that it was impressive to many people in America because I think Americans have by and large grown up with a diet of information about extremism that had the impact of implicating the entire ummah. And that is why they have in their response to, for example, 9/11 and other actions by extremists, they have not hesitated to act on entire countries like Afghanistan, like Iraq, and so forth. They had within America, there's been a response of Islamophobia against any Muslim when the great religion of Islam had been denigrated because people had their fears and their ignorance and did not have information about what it is that inspires Muslims sometimes to do wrong things like become engaged in extremism. So what Ibrahim Musa had been able to do was to present Maulana Musaji and his family not in any denigrated way. He did not insult them. He did not curse them or whatever the case may be. He simply presented what he calls his friend. and spoke to who this person is, and then spoke to what this person yearns for, wanting to live under Sharia, wanting to live under a caliphate, wanting to do this. And it's the first time, I think, that ordinary Americans, particularly, and Westerners, gained personal insight into someone who made the decision to join ISIS. And I think that what it also then does is that it begins to present ISIS as a number of individuals who have certain yearnings, sometimes psychological flaws, sometimes anger issues, sometimes trauma in their background, so that you deal with a group as a set of individuals rather than representative of an entire global community. And that's the power of the article that I think Professor Ibrahim Musa had written, and that's what impressed me, not only because it was well written, but it was also well received, and there were many aha moments by policymakers in Washington that I experienced simply because it was printed in the Washington Post amongst those who make decisions in, I think, the capital, the American superpower.
You mentioned, or you are quoted as saying, that this article seems to have touched a raw nerve. For who? For ISIS sympathizers?
No, I think that it touched, on the one hand, a vein of ignorance about who Muslims are and so forth, but I also think that it touched a raw nerve because we were able to get a glimpse into the thinking within ISIS, who'd foment a great deal of damage to Islam, damage to Muslims, and damage to other people in this world. And so I think that what the article is able to elicit a debate on is ideas, for example, that sometimes Westerners or Americans think that they are the major victims of ISIS, that they're killing Americans left, right, and center. The truth is that the most people who are dying are fellow Muslims. They are Shias, they are Sufis, they are anyone who differs with ISIS. And then there are ordinary people like the Yazidis, who are given the name as Mushriks, and therefore, by changing their title, their blood suddenly becomes halal to people like ISIS. And so I think that it is in opening up a non-emotional, non-pejorative debate about all of these things that I think a raw nerve has been. And the only reason that it is confirmed that the raw nerve is touched is that someone, it appears, from Raqqa, Syria, called Abu Huraira al-Hindi, that person was then, took the trouble to respond with a death threat to Ibrahim Musa, which I think is indicative that suddenly something hurt him. And that is what I think is unfortunate, because it was expressed through a death threat, but in another sense was very good, because sometimes we are intimidated by the extremists, and in this case I think that a simple article had the impact of intimidating someone in that extremist group.
Did Dr. Musa indicate as to whether there is still a channel of communication between him and Maulana Musaji?
No, I think that that channel has, the article does not indicate that there is a current channel that is being utilized. I think that the article indicates that that Professor Ibrahim Musa's construction of the mind of Maulana Rashid Musaji was based on his taped messages that he had been able to send to family and friends, and Mullah Ibrahim Musa's own discreet communication with family of Rashid Musaji. So I think it's not that there is a current communication, it is much rather that there's been a construction on the basis of letters and tapes and accounts that have been given.
Mm. Do you think that an article of this nature would play a very important role in the South African newspaper, although the dynamic in terms of how the broader South African community views the Muslim and extremism narrative is different compared to the US?
I think that it is different, but we cannot have too many warnings about the dangers of these things. Just the other day I was in Turkey, and there's a rumor that on the border between Turkey and Syria are a number of disenchanted South Africans, South African Muslims, who have, for example, gone join ISIS and have been disillusioned and are now caught, in a sense, in no man's land, having touched extremism and not finding an easy way out of it in their quest term. So what I'm saying is that we need to have an intelligent discourse about extremism, how it is attractive from afar, but how when it sucks you in, then you are in a spiral of factors that you can't control. The romance gets out of the way, and suddenly you are faced with beheadings. You are faced with rapes. You are faced with slavery. You are faced with child labor. You are faced with one-dimensional readings of the Quran. You are faced with literalism. So I think that what the article has done in the U.S. context is not only to help policymakers rethink how they see Islam, Muslims, and extremism, but also helps Muslims to understand what it is that we must watch out for, that our youth and our children may become attracted to. It helps us to understand that sometimes our neglect of either ourselves understanding Islam correctly and our inability sometimes to communicate with our children and understanding their minds, what are they searching for in life, what meaning are they looking for, and how will they grasp at a variety of things just present themselves as attractive. So I think that those are the things that we've got to open up a discussion on and a conversation about in South Africa and elsewhere in the world.
Finally, with regards to the U.S., you spent a number of years there as U.S. South African ambassador, and now in the capacity that you explained earlier on. Do you sense that there is now a shift from the early kind of narrative when it came to Muslims and extremism and terrorism and how that narrative played out in the media and social discourse? Is there a shift for the better?
Look, I think that we mustn't always look for a shift that comes from the heart, because that's very difficult. But there is sometimes a shift in tactical approach. I think on the one hand, we must understand that the U.S. as a country is in deep, deep debt. It's $16 trillion U.S. dollars in debt, and therefore doesn't have money for war, so it has to make a shift away from war. So it's making peace with Cuba, making peace with Iran, and trying to stay out of Syria, and trying to de-escalate its involvement in Afghanistan and Iraq and so forth. So there's a series of tactical retreats from war because there's no money, and the U.S. public is tired of seeing body bags come back from all of these places. At the same time, they now fear that the battles may shift from Afghanistan and Iraq, and they fear that it may increasingly come into the heartlands of the United States and Europe because of growing populations. They're beginning to think whether Islamophobia may create alienation amongst young Muslims here who won't just absorb bearing the brunt of bad behavior and so forth, and may become militant themselves or extreme themselves. And so I think that there's an idea that so more and more you are hearing President Obama speak and others say that when we speak about extremism, we are not trying to implicate a great religion like Islam. Mm. Alhamdulillah, that is very, very good to hear, and they are making an effort to be seen embracing Islam. And so, for example, every government department here has an iftar, the White House and State Department has an Eid celebration, because I think that they are trying to not alienate Muslims, and they understand that it is better to have the mainstream, the middle ground of the Ummah, solidly not alienated. So there is at this point, at least a tactical shift, maybe a strategic shift, and hopefully, inshallah, it can become a shift of the heart, but that will take quite a bit of time. So maybe there will be greater breathing room for Muslims. It doesn't mean that you don't face your challenges when you come to the airport, that you will be searched, that it doesn't mean that when an election campaign comes up, like it is being prepared for 2016, that there won't be politicians like Trump and others who will say all kinds of things and inflame the situation. Those things will be there. But I think that I'm also confident the Muslims of the United States are also preparing a lot better to accept their citizenship and to claim their rights and make sure that they fulfill their responsibilities also as citizens.
Ibrahim, jazakumullah for your time this morning. Much appreciated, and we hope to see you soon in South Africa, inshallah.
Inshallah, and thank you very much for the work that you do and for the calm that you bring to the Ummah in that part of the world, alhamdulillah.
Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was former South African ambassador to the United States, Ibrahim Rasool, talking to us this morning from the United States. He's there, as he explained earlier on, doing some work at the university. And he was talking to us about an article written by Dr. Ibrahim Musa in the Washington Post. It was entitled Unveiling the Heart of Extremism. He says it was a very well-written article, because in that article, Dr. Musa talks about a man that he knew previously, a person he refers to as his friend, Mufti Rashid Musaji, who has become well-known here in South Africa because he took his family and he moved over to Raqqa in Syria to join ISIS, and he's been encouraging others to do the same. And Mufti Musaji has been critical of South African leadership and the ulama. We know that those video clips have come into the public domain and those articles, etc., those arguments. And former Ambassador Ibrahim Rasool says that this touched a raw nerve, because it was not pejorative in any way. It did not attack him in any way. It just tried to explain to the American public why people make these kinds of decisions. And it focused on the individual rather than a person representative of the Ummah, because many people in the West, when they look at this whole issue of extremism and terrorism and that kind of thing, they paint the whole Ummah with one brush. They don't understand it in the context of different individuals and their families and why they make the decisions that they make. There's a lot that you can learn into why they find themselves in such a position that leads to such decisions where they move over. And this will not only be relevant to Mufti Musa, Mufti Rashid Musaji, but also all those others who decided to go and who are currently on the border between Turkey and Syria, perhaps in Syria, those who are there but are not happy about being there and are looking at how they can remedy that particular situation. So I think it was kind of Ibrahim Rasool to join us. He had to wake up early in the morning to be able to do this interview. We wanted to also speak to Dr. Ibrahim Musa simultaneously, but unfortunately that did not materialize.